15th time lucky day, sister.
Don't you be doing that voice, so stupid. Yes, 15th time lucky, and welcome to the podcast, people. Hello, and how do you do?
I do very trumpy and a pumpy.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, I'm tired, Cecil. Can we not do this tonight? I want to do it some other time.
No, you've procrastinated enough, Paul. We've put it off and put it off and put it off and put it off and put it off. And now we're a week behind, and I promised myself that would never happen. And it has happened.
Yes, but it's been mitigating circumstances, Cecil. We've had to move out in 2 weeks.
Yes.
You know, it's the problem, isn't it, when you've got an active, vibrant lifestyle.
Right.
You can't always be roller skating on a seafront in a white skirt with some dogs. Just, you know, sometimes you have to just sit at home, reflect on things. Other times you have to move out.
Yes.
So shut up, we're doing it then, fine, but for Trump, then don't blame me.
Fine, I won't blame you, but okay, right. You want me to do the roundup of last time, don't you? Deleted it from the thing. Yes, me and my Margaret broke up. One of our many separational periods coming up now. And I just basically spent the week weeping, as you do that. It's a coping mechanism. It's a very good coping mechanism. And Paul was training me on how to be single, because I'd forgotten. It's been a while. It was our longest time together, me and Margaret. 30-odd years. So, Paul, if you'd like to begin with the reading from the 1st of April.
Will do. Thank you, Cecil. 1st of April. Yes, April Fool's Day. And did I play a prank on Dad or what? I woke him up at about 6:47 a.m. I pretended to be really excited and then said, Dad, quick, Mum's on the phone, she's weeping. She wants you to come back. She says she's changed her ways in like a Scrooge-style fashion. Then Cecil leapt out of bed and rushed to answer the phone, while I then got my mobile phone ready, and because I'd already rung our telephone, and I put on Mum's voice and pretended to be her over the phone to Dad. I'm not sure at what point he knew it was me and realised it was a prank being pulled. But, you know, it was several seconds, and then he just screamed at me, said the F word, and then burst into tears. Note to self, never toy with Cecil's emotions. He's a very delicate flower. He cried until 5 o'clock in the evening, so I called off his single man training for today. It'll commence tomorrow with the intermediate training stage. I hope he's ready for it.
2nd of April.
Today was Cecil's intermediate single training. Well, we woke up at 11:30 in the a.m., ate new bachelor chow, which was honey nut loops. No milk, just you eat a packet, and then wash it down with a Fun Factory Cola flavoured drink. Later we walked around town and I tried to get him to not look at women, because it's far too scary for single chaps like us. And then in the evening we watched my 6-hour long Eurotrash video, and I'm fairly certain Cecil got a young man. And by that I mean he got a wee willy winky, if you know what I mean. Worryingly, it was at the point where there was naked men on the screen.
Wasn't Paul. There'd have been a segment on Oktoberfest. There were some very busty waitresses.
Fair enough.
Yes, 3rd of April.
Today I've begun Cecil's advanced training. We woke up at about 11:28 and then watched Bargain Hunt in bed. We weren't in bed together, dear Diary. Don't want you to have that insinuation, thank you very much. Separate beds in Mum and Dad's room. I've taken to sleeping in Mum's bed just to keep Dad company on a night time. He sometimes wakes up with night terrors, screaming about rabbits. Don't know why. Pounding at him, going at his ankles and shins, humping him senseless. Anyway, we watched Bargain Hunt in bed, as I say. Eating honey nut loops out the packet, but horror upon horrors, Ricky Dicky David Dickinson wasn't presenting Bargain Hunt anymore. It was some horrible man who doesn't get half as excited. Rubbish. But anyway, Dad said that he wanted to be more like Ricky Dicky Davidson, or the Duke, as he's known around these parts. So, after breakfast, which was a Mars Bar and Fun Factories, we went to a suit shop, a wig shop, or toupee shop. well, a section of a shop that's got two toupees, and went to a hardware shop where Dad bought what he thought was tanning ointment, but it turned out to be wood stainer. But after all the items were bought, I have to admit, it does look like David Dickinson. Though his face isn't quite as orange, it's more mahogany. But, you know, mahogany works. Dad keeps saying chips and chips every 5 seconds, which is a really nice touch I think he's brought. When we got home, I played him a song about being single. And if you want to hear that song, you're going to have to listen to the separate podcast, Radio Thax, Series 1, Episode 4. I think it's Episode 4, Singularity. I think that's what it's called. It's just my rules about being single. I repeated the rules to Cecil in a non-musical form, just in case he couldn't understand the lyrics, because sometimes they can be a bit garbled. And the hook's not quite hooky, so if he don't get stuck in his head, he can't blame me, because I've told him in musical form and just spoke to him. Rule one is don't get in a relationship. That'll bugger up being single right out the gate. Rule two is don't be weak. And be prepared. That's one rule in two there. Don't be weak and be prepared. And then rule three is probably the most essential rule, is don't be lonely. Try not to be. Get yourself a teddy, if not the underwear, the something to cuddle at night time. So rule one, don't get in a relationship. That's the dark side of being single. You know, because as soon as you do go in a relationship, you're not going to be single anymore, and no one wants that. Rule two and three cannot be stressed enough, and this is the undoing of many a fine single person. In addition to rule one, try and find some way of repelling other people by either being unattractive or smelling or being a chav or being shy or being annoying or being offensive vocally and being any combination of these. Stupid. 4th of April. Oh, Lordy on high, what a day. At 8:47 a.m, Tony were banging on the door and shouting for me. So I got out of bed with some morning wood. It's embarrassing, but I was dreaming about Thor a herd. I don't know why. Anyway, I rushed to the front door because I thought something had gone horribly wrong. But no, in fact, Tony's ex-wife had died, and the stupid woman hadn't changed her will, so Tony got all of her money and things. Oh, it was amazing. He was in such high spirits. He wanted to take me and Dad out for the day, and he made me and Dad get up, and by 11:32 we're out, and we'd visited the most happening, swinging place for three single men to be. That's right. We went to Beamish Open Air Museum. We had a very amusing incident. Now, I know I've read this in the diary podcast before, but that's because I was recapping this. I'm going to read it again, because what are you going to do? You're going to come and punch me in the face? No, not Anna. Here we go. We were at the old sweetie shop in Beamish Museum, Open Air Museum, and Dad was confusing the old ladies who were serving by asking for sweets, but they were using the old slang terms, such as he was calling bonbons fatty tarts, and M and sherbets were, by Cecil, called biddy trumps. I don't know why. Well, while he confounded them even more, Tony and I went to the shop, which sells many things. I don't know the name for it, but it sells things like ping pong balls, wool, fish, a selection of stuffed parrots, and just, you know, random things. Well, I was just looking at the display of old cotton wool balls when Tony playfully whipped me around the buttock with a curtain tie back. Or he tried to get me on the buttock, but unfortunately he did it and he got me on the left nipple. Oh, such pain. I jumped sideways and I hit the talcum powder display and it poof, poof, poofed onto me. I was half pissed off and half laughing when in my dusty form, I ran at Tony. He thought I was a ghost come to get him. So I picked up a bottle of turpentine and threw it at me. It hit me on the left leg and broke. Well, I got terribly scared that my body might burst into flames, so I whipped off my trousers. when I tried to, but I couldn't get them past my shoes. So in my rage, I lunged at Tony, did another sidestep to the left, and then I fell right penis first onto the fish tank. And for some reason, I think it must have thought it was a maggot come to say hello, but a fish clung on to my penis. The largest goldfish in the tank, which I thought, why not? Fair enough. In pain and fear and eroticism, I was essentially getting filleted by a goldfish. I fell backwards, panicking, and collapsed into the molasses stand. Of course, it tipped down all over me, and I looked like one of those black and white minstrels covered in the talcum powder, the black molasses and whatnot. It was at this point when Dad walked in, and then seeing my molassesy head, my talcum powder body, my trouserless legs, and the goldfish suckling on my young man, he quickly said as fast as a flash, "Oh, now there's a fishy tail, if ever I've seen one." In time, I pulled my trousers up, and we were escorted out of the premises. We're not allowed in Beamish for 10 years.
"That didn't happen, Paul."
"Shut up, I'm taking liberties, Cecil."
"But we were barred from Beamish, weren't we?"
"Yeah, because I was inappropriate. I thought it was a mannequin, it was a woman. I thought it was animatronic. I grabbed at her."
"Yes. 5th of April.
Well, after yesterday, we thought it'd be best if we had a quiet day at home watching telly. And we then found out that the Grand National was on. Cecil, in his infinite wisdom, put £5,000 on the horse named Radio Romper. Of course, it lost at the first fence by having a heart attack and then spontaneously combusting. The idiots lost all the insurance money. Mum was supposed to get half of that. Cecil's shitting himself that Mum will want to take it as soon as she realises he's got it, because she just left in such a hurry. I don't think she got all the paperwork in order. What are we going to do? There's no way we can make £2,500 from Christella. Not in 1 year. Not no chance. Not no how. Not no way. Not no something. Dad's hiding in the cupboard under the stairs. And with good cause. Mum's going to come down on him with furious vengeance. The wrath of God will have nothing on that woman's grumpiness.
"Oh yes, 7th of April. What happened to the 6th of April, Paul?"
"I don't know." "Oh dear, we've got 2 7th of Aprils. It's fine. This is the 6th of April, apologies for that." "Sure enough. Right on time." Mum picked the phone up, remembering that Cecil had insurance money. Cecil panicked and dropped the phone and ran out of the room crying. I put on Cecil's voice and spoke to her. Needless to say that with my no-nonsense negotiation, we now owe Mum the whole £2,780. A po-po. No bank's going to give us a loan for that much money. They wouldn't even give us 200 quid when we wanted to have a giant Radiothax flag made and erected out the front of the house. So they're either going to give us 6 grand, are they, to pay off gambling debts. I asked Cecil what we were going to do, and then... I thought I was going to be sick. We had a brainstorming session. It came down to these 7 choices. Choice number 1. Sell Christella. And choice number 2. Set up a hook-a-duck stall and hopefully win enough prizes from the people who run the hook-a-duck store to then sell it back to them, the prizes, and then they'll give us the money because we own the hook-a-duck store. That was one of my ideas. Cecil said I didn't understand economics, and if I'm honest, I don't. Number 3, do a sponsored thin-a-thon. Lose as much weight as possible for as much money as possible. Number 4, make a nude calendar. Number 5, we could take Radiothax on tour. Number 6, sue Pollard. As in, sue the actress, sue Pollard. But we couldn't figure out why we'd need to sue her. Or number 7, make a highly successful film on £5.
7th of April.
We're letting the listeners decide. So I put forward the choices over the internet, the airwaves, and we're going to make a nude calendar. It turns out that's what the people want to pay for. That's what they want to see. We tried to book a photographer on air, but the phone in... I've got an itch. We tried to book the photographer on air, but the phone got coda spilled on it, and I couldn't ring up a photographer and say, I want you to come and take a picture of several men in the nip, but with the genitals obscured by a teapot or a melon or a lava lamp, somewhere along those lines, please. Didn't dare do it, really, if I'm being honest. I just bottled it.
Right, and that's the end of that week's podcast. But as we say, someone's procrastinated, and we're a week behind. So welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this week's podcast.
Yeah, you didn't need to say that. We could have just carried on, Cecil.
Oh, I thought...
No, come on, just do the next bit.
Right. 8th of April.
On the radio today, we talked about childhood experiences, and several people phoned in saying they had sleepovers. I never had one, as Mum thought they were one step away from a child-based orgy. So tonight I'm having one. A sleepover, not a child-based orgy. I'm not Sir Jimmy Savile. It's just me, Dad, Eugene and Tony. We have a Steven Seagal box set to watch, because, you know, he's got good acting skills, hasn't he? Steven Seagal can do the full spectrum of the human emotions. He can do anger, hate and violence. Then once we've watched Under Siege 2, well, we've retired to bed. We're going to sleep in the same room. And I'm going to, when the lights go out, I'm going to make some owl noises. I think that's going to scare everybody. Oh, it's 8:45 at night now, on the evening of the sleepover. Tony's got some LSD drugs. He's apparently spiked us all. None of us knew. We're having a drug-fueled rampage. Oh. It's been 29 minutes since we took... I'm in the kitchen of dreams, and Cecil's cooking up a House Martin parade. I'm a Marmite marathon chock-a-block cooking sock. Beware the best before end of Time Lord. Doctor, who are you to judge, jury, and executioner? Oh. Let's wander through the curious corridors of Christella and open the chest of drawers of perception. As 9/10 of the law and disorderly file will not be tolerated. Ooh, Cecil's the warthog of social injustice. Cecil's the guard at the end of the toothpaste parade. Tony is the runner of the wardrobe shower. And Eugene is the pillowcase of unlawful noodle cakes. Only take 3 minutes to cook, unless if you do it in a microwave with boiling water. Just add flavour to taste. Mm. And the pancake.
9th of April.
I'm mould. I'm cold. I'm bought. I'm sold. But what will you do when you are far away and I'm alone? What will I do? Birds of a feather though flock together.
Tenth of April.
I'm still being affected by the last night's do. Tony's asleep with his head in the washing machine. Cecil's acting very odd. He claims to be the jester of justice. He told us about his 60s drug experiences when he was in the prog rock band. who, in Cecil's own mind, tried to rival the Pink Floyds. Cecil's band were PVC, because they were made up of three chaps called Pollen, real name Magnus St. John, Volto, real name Rufus P. Shuttlebottom, and Cecil, real name Cecil Marigold Tax. Apparently they were just given some equipment and told to get on with it, i.e. making music, which was a style at the time. Apparently it happened quite a lot. I think we know who came off better. It's the Pink Floyd, isn't it? Cecil claims there's some LPs in the attic. I've seen them a while ago, but I forgot about them. When I feel more normal, I'll dig them out.
Eleventh of April.
I've taken no more LSD because it's a stupid thing to do, and it makes your mind snap and bend in several places that don't need to be snapped in any place whatsoever. They should all be kept in a row, those parts of one's consciousness. I don't care how many different flowers you see growing out of your own fingertips. They'll all scream at you. Oh, they'll all scream at you. And then they'll bite you on the nipple. Oh, you should never, ever let a screaming flower suckle at the teat of your own bosom.
12th of April.
I don't feel very well. I don't feel very well at all. Oh. I tried to do some radiothaxing today, but no, I feel like my legs still aren't attached to my torso. It feels like they've gone shopping on their own, and every time I look at my knees, I think that they're thinking about writing a new episode of the X-Files fan fiction that I'm working on. But so far all I can think of is Agent Mulder and Scully investigate a desk that sort of whistles. It whistles the theme tune to the X-Files. It's a bit meta. A bit meta for them. But it's too meta, I think. I don't think Chris Carter would want to commission it. I'll keep working on it, though. I quite like it.
13th of April.
Tony's been the old small lady from Poltergeist. He keeps calling me Paul Ann, saying I should go into the light. He says it's cold in the light, but there's food with him. I think he's got in the fridge. He's still taking drugs. Excuse me.
14th of April.
I was just looking at the pile of milk bottles outside, because we've got a milk delivery milkman thing, and I sort of did a double take at the road over the shop. Apparently the road over the shop was closing down on the 12th of April. It was a Christian bookshop called Bookshelf to Heaven, which in itself isn't odd, but apart from the fact that my mind thought it was the 9th of April today. But the turns out the LSD trip had lasted for 5 days. I have absolutely no memory whatsoever of anything happening since the night of the sleepover. Oof. Don't want to do that again. I don't ever want to do that again. It was horrible. Stay in school. Don't do drugs, children.
Oof. Well, that's thankfully all she wrote. Oh, 24 minutes, Paul. We're all right.
But yeah, I remember that, aren't we?
Yes. Well, enjoy that podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Cecil, you can't tell them to enjoy the podcast. You just have to hope that they will. Okay. So, enjoy that podcast, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll be back next week. There should be another one coming up. Like we say, the Radio Facts Singularity, where Cecil learns to be single. That's all. Thank you. Good night. Love you. Trumpin'.